Hey everyone, welcome back to 7-Minute Books. I'm Sam, and today we're talking about the autobiography of Malcolm X, as told to Alex Haley. Sophie, what struck you most the first time you read it?
Hey there, Sam. I'm glad you asked. Honestly, it's the way Malcolm X keeps reinventing himself. He goes from a bright student to a hustler to a prisoner to a minister to a global human rights figure. That arc is just staggering.
And it starts so early. The book opens with the Klan surrounding his family home in Omaha. His dad stands in the doorway with a rifle. His mom holds the kids at the back window, ready to flee. That's not a metaphor. That's his bedtime story.
They moved to Michigan, but the violence followed. When he's 6, his father is found dead on the streetcar tracks. The official story is an accident, but the family always believed it was white supremacists.
So his mother tries to hold 8 kids together, but poverty and grief crush her. Welfare intervenes. She's declared insane and committed for decades. The children are scattered into foster care.
And even with a kind white couple, he learns a painful lesson. Kindness comes with strings attached. He's expected to be grateful and know his place.
That's why he starts pulling away. He can't stand being saved by people who see him as a charity case.
He withdraws, acts out, and ends up in Boston with his half-sister. Then he becomes Detroit Red, getting into dancing, dressing sharp, and eventually selling drugs and running numbers.
And he gets good at it too. He's living fast, and he's good at it, but he's also an addict. When a burglary ring gets caught, he takes a 10-year sentence at 20 years old.
In prison, they call him Satan because he's so full of rage. But another inmate, Bimby, challenges him to use his mind. So he starts reading, copying the dictionary word by word.
And then his brother Reginald tells him about the Nation of Islam. Elijah Muhammad's message is that white people are devils and black people are the original humans. For Malcolm, that explains everything he's lived through.
He converts, gives up smoking, gambling, and pork, and becomes Malcolm X. That X stands for the unknown African name stolen by slavery. It's a rebirth.
The name change alone is a statement. He's not Malcolm Little anymore. He's a man reclaiming his heritage.
He becomes a minister and he's electric. He builds temples across the country, turning the nation into a national movement with a message of black pride and self-reliance.
He also argues for self-defense by any means necessary. He doesn't believe in turning the other cheek when people are being beaten and bombed.
That's what made him so popular. He gives Black Americans permission to be proud and angry, not just patient and hopeful.
But then things start cracking. He learns Elijah Muhammad has fathered children with young women in the movement. That hypocrisy hits him hard.
He also starts traveling. He goes to the Middle East and Africa and sees Muslims of every race worshiping together. That blows up his whole worldview.
The Hajj is the real turning point. He shares meals and prayers with white Muslims who treat him as a brother. He has to admit the nation's teaching about all white people being evil is wrong.
So he leaves the nation, starts the Muslim Mosque and the Organization of Afro-American Unity. He connects black freedom to global anti-colonial struggles.
And he starts working with civil rights leaders he once denounced. That evolution makes him a target. The nation declares him a traitor.
There are death threats, and his home gets firebombed. He tells people he expects to die. On February 21st, 1965, 3 men shoot him at the Audubon Ballroom.
He was 39 years old, and the book doesn't end with his death. It ends with him still in motion, still speaking, still changing.
One of the big themes is that knowledge is freedom. He educated himself in prison, and that freed him from the mental box the world had put him in.
And it wasn't just self-education, it was understanding history. He read deeply so he could see the patterns behind racism.
Identity is another one. He's Malcolm Little, Detroit Red, Satan, Malcolm X, El-Hajj Malik El-Shabazz. He sees those as stages, not contradictions.
And that's genuinely hopeful. If a man can change that much, then none of us are stuck.
He's also a sharp critic of American democracy. He says the Declaration promised equality, but slavery and segregation denied it. He demands justice, not charity.
So he saw the system, not just individuals. That's why he could still love people while fighting the structures they built.
And he faces death with a kind of serenity. He's been so close to it so many times that he's not afraid. That's powerful.
And that's the hard part. It costs everything. You have to be willing to question your own beliefs, even the ones that saved you.
For me, the takeaway is that real transformation is possible, but it requires total honesty with yourself.
And that's the one thing I'm taking with me. Change is hard, but Malcolm X proves it's real. If he can do it, we can do it on our own scale.
And honestly, if you want to go deeper into this life and the ideas, the whole library is over at 7minutebooks.com/app. It's over 6,000 fiction and nonfiction titles you can read or listen to in any language, starting at $2.99 a month, $9.99 a year, or $19.99 for lifetime access. The autobiography of Malcolm X is a living proof that people can grow, that honesty matters more than consistency. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in the next one.